How many of you have ever seen a crime drama? A crime drama on TV. Crime drama. Okay. And have you ever noticed that at the beginning or at the end, they usually have a statement that says, these facts, although maybe based on stuff, they're not really the real thing. Or they might say the names have been changed, the locations have been changed to protect the guilty. And I think that would apply to this here. You see, a pastor had dinner at the home of a couple in his church one time. After he left, the wife said to the husband, I think he stole our spoon. Husband's like, I don't know if the pastor would have stole our spoon, but this bothered her for a long time, for over a year, but she decided, you know what, it's time to have the pastor back over to our house, and let's have him for dinner, and they're sitting there having dinner, and the wife, she can't contain herself anymore. She just has to ask, Pastor, the last time you were over here, did you steal our spoon? You just imagine her husband's head going red. Like, what are you thinking, lady? And the pastor said, I didn't steal your spoon. I put it in your Bible. Ah. Names and location have been changed to protect the guilty. I'm so glad this does not describe Focus Church at all. But we're talking about God's Word this month, and we're in a series that we're calling My Word, and we're discovering how we can take God's Word and make it our own. You see, the Bible, it's a very complex book with lots of words, and it can be overwhelming in what we see. There's 66 books within this one book, and there's over 3,102 verses inside those books. And in these pages, you can find history, you can find battles, you can find mystery, you can find poems, stories. There's prophecy, there's wisdom, there's instruction, there's guidance, there's literature, and sometimes it's just overwhelming. Like, where do we even begin? And, you know, it's just a whole lot easier if that guy up on the stage just tells me what I'm supposed to know. But we've been given something that can make a difference in our life. It's God's word for us. It's his word to us. And so we're spending this month saying, how can we take this idea of the Bible and change it to become my word, something that actually helps us, that actually makes a difference. In your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If you got your Bible, if you got your Bible app on your phone, you're pulling to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation, NLT. You can follow along with today's message by looking at the notes that you received in your bulletin. There's fill in the blanks. The answers will be on the screen as well as today's scripture verses. So we're looking at Joshua chapter 1, NLT version. And to set this up, and this is where we actually started last week. You see, Moses, he was the great leader of all of Israel, and he did so many things to help his people, and he led the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. God was with them, and God said, you're going to be able to go to the promised land. I've got a land prepared for you that is yours. But through a series of events, they disobeyed God, and they did not believe that God could help, and they did not believe that God had this for them. And God said, okay, you're just going to wander around the desert until a whole generation dies. And only a few people were left from the generation. Not even Moses himself would get to go into the promised land. But now it's come to a time in Joshua chapter 1 where Moses is dead, and now there has to be a new leader. And God has picked Joshua. Joshua was an assistant to Moses. He was right there with Moses as he led the people. And this is where we pick up instructions where God is speaking to Joshua and saying, you're going to be the leader, and here's how you're going to do it. Here's how you're going to be able to fulfill what I've called you to do. And so it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We ask that in the next few moments that you would challenge us, challenge our hearts, challenge our minds. Lord, Change us today. Don't let us be the same as when we came in. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen. There is a philosophical paradox out there known as Burdon's donkey. Now, instead of donkey, they use a different word. I'm not going to say it. You can just use your imagination. But Burdon's donkey. And in this story, you have a donkey, and he's really hungry. And so they provided two piles of hay for him, and they kept him equal distance from the piles of hay. And the paradox is this, that the donkey is so hungry, but he sees the hay, he can't decide which pile of hay to eat, and he starves to death and dies. Now we can look at it and say, wow, he could have eaten any one. It didn't matter. He could just eat, and he did not have to die. But this idea, this concept of our indecision kills us, applies to even us. You see, we try to follow God, and we try to do things that honor him, and we try to figure out what are we supposed to do with our lives, and we figure out, like, okay, so I get this God thing when I'm at church, but how does it apply to my work, or how does it apply to my school, or how does it apply to my family? And we are faced with decisions, and we don't know what to do. You know, it would be a whole lot easier if God would speak to us the same way that he spoke to Moses last week, or what we just read in Joshua chapter 1. I mean, how he spoke to Joshua and just told him and said, hey, here, you're going to be the leader. You're going to lead my people, and I'm going to be with you, and don't be discouraged. And you need to read this book and study this book of instruction. And if you obey it, you'll be successful in all you do. God was speaking to him. And how many of you wish that God would just speak to you the same way he was speaking to Joshua? It would make life a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? To figure out, what am I supposed to do? The fact of the matter is that God has spoken to us. He's actually given us that is something that is his word. And it is the Bible. You see, the Bible, which is God's word, can guide you. It can guide you. Joshua had been given his word from God, and we just read it, that if he meditates, if he studies, and if he obeys, he's going to be successful in all he does. And we look at that, and we can be jealous. We can be jealous that Joshua got to hear from God, got to hear a voice where God gave him specific instructions saying, you're going to be successful if you do these things. But what we don't actually realize is what happens next with Joshua, because God just gave him instructions saying, hey, study, meditate, obey. But he didn't say, okay, now what you're going to do is gather up people, and you need to march this many miles this way, and you need to gather and start training an army. And you... God didn't give instructions like that. God just said, study his word. And what Joshua actually does next in chapters 2 and part of chapters 3 gives us some clues to where we are at in our lives and how we can use God's word to help us to get to those next steps. And so as we look at these three things that Joshua did, I hope that you'll pay attention, that you'll make these notes. These are things that are going to help you. Most of you raised your hand. You said, I wish God would speak to me, and God's about to speak to you. The beginning of chapter 2. Joshua makes a decision. This is not something that God told him to do. He says that I'm going to send out spies. We're going to pick out some spies. We're going to send them to the first town across the river in the new land that we're supposed to conquer. He sent out spies. And why do you send out spies? You send out spies to get information, to find intelligence, to figure out a battle plan, to figure out what is out there. And really what Joshua was doing is that he was figuring out his next step by simply using the brains that God had given him. And so our first step here to figure out what is it that we're supposed to do next as God is guiding us is to use the brain that God gave you. God did not make you as a mindless creature just waiting for the next instruction. But God gave you a brain. He made you intelligent. He gifted you in many ways. And he's saying, use it. And this is what Joshua was doing. He said, We're going to send out spies. We're going to collect information so we can make good decisions. You see, it's helpful that when we've got to make a decision to find out all the options and to find out what all there is involved and what is happening. And if God is asking you to do something, it's important to do what they call as due diligence, that you have looked at it, you have thought about it, you have researched something, you have looked at it, and God gave you this brain. And just because you use your brain in this process does not mean that God's not involved. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says this: "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." God's word can guide us. It can help us to find our next step. God gave Joshua the answer as to what he was to do with his word. And he's saying, you study the word, you meditate on the word, you think about it all the time, day and night, and you obey what it says, you're going to be successful. And I would say God would say the exact same thing to you and to me today. To say, if you will just open your Bible app, if you'll just open a crack, open the Bible that you have with the leather-bound cover, if you'll just open it, if you will look at it, if you will read it, if you will study it, if you will just think about it, and whatever you find in there you obey, you will be successful in all you do. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that promise. Although, that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. We got to start somewhere. And that was our challenge last week, to say, we got to start somewhere. That reading the Bible is not about accomplishing something. It's not about saying, hey, I want to have a whole plan that I want to read this many chapters and verses every day to get there. But really, it's to say, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to pray a prayer before I even begin to say, God, show me something that I need today. And this is the difference of changing it from being just God's word to being my word, because God answers that prayer when you read his word. You say, God, help me. As I read this thing here, if I read these passages, these few verses, God, show something to me. It will make a difference. He will show something to you. And that word just leapt off the page, off the screen to you, to say, this is yours, this is your my word, something to hold on to. See? And it's something that jumps off, and this is the thing that God's pointing to you and say, hey, think about this. Think about it all day. Think about it all night. And then think about how you're going to obey it and then do it. And the promise God has for us when we do those things is that we will be successful. Now, that's good and all, but how does that help me make a decision about what job I'm supposed to take? How does it help me about what house I'm supposed to buy and where I'm supposed to live and who I'm supposed to date or have a relationship with? Or just, you can throw any of life's decisions, major decisions we throw in there and say, how does this apply to us? Well, God gave us brains, but let me tell you something. It says here in Psalms 119, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. God will never ask you to do anything. He will not prompt you to do something that goes contrary to what's in his word. And so as you get to know God's word, as you begin reading, as you begin studying, as you begin meditating, thinking about it all the time, as you begin obeying it, you can realize that God's wish for you is to do the things that are in there. And that if you have this idea or thought, you're trying to decide, am I supposed to do this or am I supposed to do this? Well, if one of those is contrary to God's word, God's not asking you to do it. And this simple act of deduction is using the brains that God gave you. That's what Joshua did. He made a decision. Say, if God is calling us to go to the promised land, and we're going to have to fight, and God's going to say, we're going to conquer this land, then we need intelligence. We got to find out information. But sometimes when we find out information and we find out all the options, it can be really hard to still make a decision. You know, it's like we're sitting there, and we're the donkey, and there's the pile of hay over here, the pile of hay over here, and we're looking and saying, which hay are we supposed to eat? I mean, that hay looks really nutritious, and that hay looks really good, and there's no more effort or less effort to go from here to there to here to there. Which one do I pick? My dad would be a guy who would always try to give me advice, because that's what dads do, right? They like to give advice to their kids. My dad was really big about just decide something. And I was always really big growing up, especially when I'm trying to decide, what am I supposed to do with my life, and what am I supposed to study, and where am I supposed to go to college, and all those things, and what do I want to be when I grow up? I had no idea. The only thing I did know that I wanted to be when I grew up was taller. And that didn't happen. But other than that, I researched, and I looked for information, and tried to find it, but I would gather so much information that I would still freeze of, I still don't know what to do. And my dad would say, do you know that not making a decision is making a decision? I'm like, oh, that's mind-blowing. But then he came up with a phrase, a term to describe what I was feeling and trying to make decisions. He said, Ryan, you're suffering from a little known disease as analysis paralysis. You have analyzed it so much that you are paralyzed by it, that you can't do anything because you are afraid of making the wrong decision. And I would say that in my life, in trying to figure out what am I supposed to do and where am I supposed to go because I want to do what God wants me to do, I hope that you can relate to this too, because we think all the time, we can laugh and say, yeah, you analyze something so much that you're paralyzed that you can't make a decision, but we really have this fear of making the wrong decision. What if I totally miss God because I picked this instead of this pile of hay over here? And would it be worse because I consciously picked something that pulled me away? Or was the wrong decision? And we can't handle that pressure, so we just said, I just can't decide. Now, Joshua had gathered this information. He'd found out they had a scout, and it's really cool. If you want to read Joshua chapter 2, it's an awesome story on how the spies went into Jericho, how they were saved by a lady there. It's a cool story. But Joshua got the information back, and he had a decision to make. What am I going to do with this information? And so the next step to deciding and figuring out what is it that God wants me to do is that you got to move towards your promise. You got to move towards your promise. Joshua knew that God had promised them this land. This land literally was separated by a river, a big river called the Jordan River. And at this particular time of year, this river was overflowing. You know, and you think that rivers get their source from mountains and the snow is melting and so more water comes down. And so it's considered to be in its flood stages, and it separated them from where they were at to where they were supposed to go. But here's what Joshua did know, that where they were at right now, they needed to get closer, to move closer to their promise. And so he gathered up all the Israelites and said, guys, we're moving. And he knew where to move, although not exactly, but he knew a general direction is to say, we've got to take some action, and we've got to move towards our promise. You see, if God has put something on your heart, God's given you a passion, he's given you a burden, he's given you something you think you're supposed to do, and you don't know what is it the next step that I'm supposed to do, move towards the promise. Move towards it. Take a step that gets you one step closer towards that. Don't worry about, is it the wrong step? Did I go left when I should have gone right? Just take a step towards what God has promised for you. You got to take action. This is something we believe very much here as part of our church, part of our DNA here, that we can love God and we can love people, but the big thing is that we've got to do something. And this is where we put our faith into action. And when we're trying to find out, what is God's will for me? When I'm trying to decide, how am I supposed to do it? How can God help me? How am I supposed to make good decisions? We use our brains, and then we move. We make a decision. We move towards where God's promise is for us. You see, it's helpful to understand how God works here. Because the Bible is full of all these stories where God speaks to people. and a lot of really cool stories where they hear his voice, or he's in a burning bush, or he's sending, he makes even animals talk. There's some really cool stories about that. And those are things that we wish that God would communicate with us, but that's not how God totally communicates with us. He communicates in so many other ways. He has his word for us. But we're looking and saying, God, what's the next thing I'm supposed to do? What's the next thing? I want the next instruction. Put your left foot out. Put your right foot out. Put your left foot out. Put your left foot in. Put your left foot. How's it go? Shake it all about. I don't know. I was never good at that, especially on skates. But that's what we wish. And God's just saying, just do something. Just go in the general direction. Because we think God has a laid out perfect plan for us, but that's not how God gets us to where we need to go, because we think it's instructions. But instead, the way how God operates is that he guides us. He guides us. Have you ever had a bug on the ground and kind of played with it? And you tried to get it to go somewhere? Maybe you used something and kind of said, oh, go this way and go that way. You're not actually pushing the little bug across the ground. You're kind of using things to kind of say, oh, no, go this way. Go a little this way. And we're guiding that little bug across the ground. And then we smash it. Oh. No, here's a clue. Here's how we can understand it. The answer here is in Psalm 32, verse 8. This is a message from God to us. And he says, this is how I do it. This is how we do it. Okay. Psalms 32, 8. You're just going to say, I love my pastor. Says this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So what he's not saying is, I'm going to leave you clues that you have to decipher to get your next instruction. Kind of how like we're going to do with these escape rooms, you know, the clues for the next instruction. That's not how God's working. He's saying here, I'm going to guide you towards a pathway that's best for you, for your life. I will advise you, and I'm going to watch over you. We can begin to get an idea of how this works, but we can better illustrate it by this. How many of you are parents who've had kids? Hopefully you're not a parent that didn't have kids, because you kind of have to have kids to be a parent. Have you ever taught your kids to ride a bike? Yeah, a lot of heads nodded. Okay, how does it work? You're trying to explain to them, you got to get on the bike. You're going to have to balance, but you got to get some momentum going, and you got to get the pedals going, and you got to keep the steering wheel kind of straight. And we're there, and we want them to ride the bike, but what do? We kind of give them the push, right? And then what do? We run alongside them, right? And we're kind of like hovering over them. And we're kind of like barely ready to catch onto that seat handle so that they don't fall over or anything, because we want to catch them before they fall. And this is kind of the perfect picture to imagine in our mind how God's guiding us down the pathway. It's like he wants us to go after the promises that he has for us. And he's like, you got this. Let me give you a push. But he's hovering there just like a dad, just like a mom, ready to catch you if you fall and kind of help you. Oh, come on. We're going to get you there. Now, he's not doing it for us. We don't do it for our kids. We can't help our kids ride the bike. But here's what our kids do know. There's always a situation that happens like this when you're teaching a kid to ride a bike, that there becomes this aha moment where they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they have the confidence because they realize mom or dad's right there, but mom or dad has let go. And when they realize, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. This is the joy that a parent has in teaching their kid to ride a bike. And I believe that this scripture here shows that same kind of thing where God's saying, I'm going to guide you down the best pathway for your life, and I'm going to advise you, and I'm going to hover over you, that he's there for you. And so it's okay. As long as you are moving, you got to take a step forward. You got to move towards your promise. You got to do something. So how do we find out? What is it we're supposed to do? We get the information. We use the brains that God has given us. And then we take that information and we move forward. We take a step towards what God has for us. We realize that the way we can figure out if we're supposed to choose this pile of hay or this pile of hay is that if this pile of hay is contrary to God's word that we've been reading, then it's probably not the right choice. God wouldn't ask us to do it. This key part, though, we got to take that step. We got to go towards what God has for us. That's what Joshua did. He took the people and he said, let's go straight towards the river. Let's go to the river and then let's see what we're supposed to do next. And the final thing that Joshua did is that once they got to the river, he gave some instructions to the people. And he said, you need to pay attention. You see, we're going to have the priests hold the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol, this representation of God in our presence. And this is what they used to do. They had these priests that would hold this box up on poles, and this would represent that God was still with them. And he said, see the priests, see the Ark of the Covenant. Make sure that you stay focused on it. Maintain a proper distance, but follow wherever it goes, because where we're about to go, you've never been there before. And I think this is important, that Joshua would say this as this third step, to say we need to stay focused on God. And the main reason why you should stay focused on God is because you're about to head down a way you have never been before. This past Friday night, we had our Young Marrieds life group, and it was a lot of fun, and we learned a bunch of things. But there was a story that came up that I shared in regards to how God asked me to become a pastor. And it was a particular night where I was praying and I was worshiping God, and I'm like, God, I want you to know that whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. You know, I'll take motion, I'll step forward, I'll make good decisions, I'll do it. And I felt God speak to me inside my head. He said, Ryan, you're going to become a lead pastor. You're going to become the pastor of a church. And I'm like, whoa, God, that's not exactly what I had in mind. You see, I'd been a staff pastor, an associate pastor for about 20 years, and I was pretty good at it, and I kind of liked it, and I knew what I needed to do, and this was kind of easy because I kind of got into my rhythms of here's what you do and here's what you don't do, and we can do this and do that, and life was great. And here God was wrecking my life because he was beginning to insert in my life some guidance, saying, you know what, we're going to start going this direction over here. And my response to God was, no way, Jose. You meant it for the next guy next to me who was praying. You know, you got the wrong guy, you know. And God said, no, I've picked you. You're going to be the pastor of a church. And I said, God, I don't know if I can, because I don't know how to do it at all. I know how to do what I'm doing, but I don't know how to do that. And I found in my conversations with God that when he speaks to me, he kind of has a sassy attitude with me. Because his response was, great, then you'll have to rely on me. And that has been a journey that's been 5 years in the making now. And now it's been 14 months that I've been a lead pastor here. And I can tell you that I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm not going to stand up here and be a poser to pretend I know what I'm doing. But I am going to stand up here and say that I gathered information and researched. I learned. I gathered people around me that could advise me. But I didn't stop at that and get paralysis analysis. I've taken steps forward and said, I'll do it. And I have to tell you, this week was a big challenge for me as we celebrated the homecoming of John Carnes and doing his funeral this past week. And I prayed a lot to God and said, God, I don't know how to do this. I've only ever done one funeral in my life. I said, God, how do I even begin? And God said, just take a step forward. Just walk with us. I'll guide you. And I found that as I stepped forward in it, God showed me. He gave me words to say. He gave me the timing. He gave me just the right things and right things to do and to say. And I can say that, you know, one of the hardest things for me is because I knew John. And in my life, I've never been to a ton of funerals just in general. Just I've kind of been shielded from that. I don't know why, but I haven't. And I believe that God worked that day on Thursday. Not because I was smart enough or experienced enough, but because I used my brain to find out God's will. I made a decision and moved forward, and I stayed focused on God. Stayed focused on His Word. When we read it, we can find words that will sustain us, that will help us, that can guide us as to what we're supposed to do next. They might not be explicit, here's instruction A, instruction B, instruction C. But if we can remember that God is for us and imagine that picture of God with the kid with the bicycle. We're that kid on the bicycle. He's saying, I'm giving you the right pathway. I'm hovering over you. I'm there for you. Maybe some of the words we're saying today becomes your words. But it all starts with cracking open that book. Maybe you'll find a spoon in it. Or opening up that screen and logging into your Bible app. Something we decided to do for this series is to not just hear from our pastor, but to hear from other leaders in the church. Last week, we were blessed with Pastor Hope and with Mike, one of our board members, who shared a verse, a scripture that has become their word, something that has helped them through the highs and the lows in life. And today, we're continuing that, and we're going to ask that Ms. Colleen come forward at this time. She's one of our board members. Let's give it up for Ms. Colleen as she comes and shares her word.
Well, God is good. I don't even know how to really start, and I'm not going to make it long, but the verse that God gave me very early in my walk with Him, and this year it's 40 years, really fit me. You know, we don't know sometimes why we are the way we are, and we can make many excuses or wonderments or make up stories or whatever. But my thing throughout my life is I've been timid and shy, introverted, and fearful. And I would used to ask my mama, you know, why am I this way? And they would always tell me the same story. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. I was a 6.5-month baby, and I was in the hospital for 2.5 months. And that was many years ago when medicine certainly isn't what it is today. But in that process, I couldn't be held. And now, you know, they understand that cuddling process and that getting to just know what it feels like to be touched or felt or whatever. Well, I couldn't. So I was in the incubator for 2.5 months. And at the end of that time, I was able to go home. And my mom told me that at that point, I didn't want anybody to hold me. I was afraid of voices. I was afraid of just about everything. That kind of stayed with me through my life. And in that, you know, we can make, it can go both ways. We can either just crouch and let it overtake us, or we can go too far the other way and work it out in ways that might not be healthy. But my verse that the Lord reminded me of and reminds me of often is from Psalm 56, 3 and 4. And I use the New American Standard Bible version for sharing it with you. And it says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? This verse gives me hope in every situation, but it also helps me to remember that I'm real. It didn't say we wouldn't be fearful. It said, but when you are afraid, I am there for you. You can trust in me. You can hold on to me. That gives me hope. So I leave you with this first part of this verse. Whenever I am feeling timid, frightened, scared, stepping out of my comfort zone like I am right now, the Lord usually reminds me of this verse from the Amplified Version, which I have memorized. But it is, he always says to me, what time you are afraid, Colleen, put your trust and faith in me.
She's been sweating it for 2 weeks now. Saying, Pastor, what have you gotten me into? And now we're going to have our third and final board member come today, Mr. Tim. Let's give it up for him as he shares his word from God.
I'm going to use the podium so that it can hold my cheat sheets here. That and I can hide behind it. I just learned this morning that I was going to follow up Colleen. God, what are you doing to me? It's been a couple weeks since Pastor asked me to share this, and it's kind of hard to come up with a verse. God's word is living and active, and it seems like there's a different verse for almost every day, and there's lots of verses that come to mind. But I guess there is one that I do come back to from time to time. Probably numerous times over the years. Like most people, there are times in my life when I don't necessarily see Jesus at work in my life. And one time reading John 14:21, which I'll read to you. When I'm not nervous, I know it by heart, but I'll read it to you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And from that verse, I realized that sometimes when I don't see God at work in my life, that maybe there's an obedience issue. Pastor has said that we are all born with a propensity to sin. And sometimes that sin can take place in the form of not doing what you're supposed to do. That seems to be the case for me from time to time, where I'm not doing what he clearly says in his word to do, or what he has revealed for me to do, whether through a sermon or what have you. But anyway, I just really feel like that's something that's common to many people. And it's good to remember that, as we heard today, it kind of confirms this, that if we are obedient to him, if we know his commands and are obedient to them, we will indeed prosper. In Psalm 1, it says that he who obeys God's word is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. It just follows along with what we heard in Joshua. And so I just encourage you that if there's a time in your life that you feel like you're not seeing God moving, that perhaps there's an obedience issue that you need to look at in your life. Now, there can be many reasons why you're not seeing God at work in your life. And I would also say that he is at work in your life. He said that he would never leave you or forsake you. The word says that he is for you. He's always working in your behalf. And it's really neat to when you begin seeing God at work in your life again, to be able to look back and say, oh, wow, my God was in it the whole time. He showed up again. And what a blessing that is. So that's all I have. Thanks.
We appreciate the leaders of our church who are getting over their fears of public speaking and sharing with us how this plays out even in their own lives. And, you know, we have two more weeks of this series where we'll continue to explore how we make God's word our own. And we're going to have more people share, and we're going to hold a lottery, and you might get picked, and now you're really scared to death. No, that's not how it's going to work. Actually, you don't want to miss next week, because Levi and Morgan are going to be sharing about their words from God and how it's impacted their lives. And then in 2 weeks, you're going to hear from Pastor Shalee and myself as we share scripture that we have held on to over the years and how it's impacted us. God's word, like Tim said, it's alive. It's real. It's not just words printed on a page, but it's God's word to you. And you got to start somewhere. And it starts with saying, I want to know you, God. And God said, if you want to know me, then study, meditate, think about, obey. You'll be successful. So I want you to think this next few moments as we all close our eyes, as we bow our heads, as we take a time to reflect and to respond to today's message. Maybe today you're like what Tim was saying, that there's times I don't feel God working in my life. And the scripture he shared showed that we've got to be obeying God. And when we obey him, then he's there and he's working through us and in us. Or maybe you operate your life and you can relate to Colleen, and who has faced fear all her life. And yet she's received a word from God that says, don't be afraid, but when you are afraid, trust in me. Or maybe you look at Joshua, where Joshua's been given instructions, but you're thankful today to see that, hey, it's not as hard as I made it out to be. And when I'm faced with major life decisions, I don't have to wait to hear an audible voice from God, but God's given me brains and he wants me to move forward and he wants me to be focused on him. As long as we're moving in the right direction. And you could relate to that mind picture of a dad with a kid on a bike and say, ah, I get it now. Wow. Because as we face life's decisions, we don't ever want to be like Baradin's donkey, who was so hungry, saw two choices, and decided for neither of them and died. And so, as I pray for the next few moments, I want you to talk to God too. I want you to tell him where you're at and say, God, this is, you know, I need a word from you. Maybe today you're kind of jealous of these people who have a word from God, or you, when you hear your pastor say that God spoke to me and he was kind of sassy, but God wants to speak to you and God wants to guide you and God wants to direct you, but the root of it is found here in Joshua 1:8. It says, study my word, think about it day and night, and obey it. And so maybe you've got to tell God today that, God, I want to hear from you. I need your guidance and direction. And so I hear what you're saying to me today, that, God, I need to be about studying your word. And if you do that, it will change from being God's word to being your word. You're my word. So God, we thank you today. We thank you that you want to speak to us. You want to guide us. You want to direct us. You love us. You've got plans for us. But God, sometimes we are the worst enemies of ourselves, that we are afraid of making wrong decisions and doing the wrong thing, that we don't do anything. And you're saying, just go, do something. So God, we're talking to you right now. Each person in this room is talking to you right now. You can hear their thoughts. You can hear their whispers. You can hear their prayers. as they reach out to you and say, God, here is where I am at, and here's where I want to be. Recognizing that we've got to start hearing your word. We've got to be thinking about it. We've got to be obeying it. So God, we commit today to knowing more about you, to crack open the Bible, to open up the screen, to get to your word and not just read it to accomplish a reading or to check off something on a list, but God, to focus on you. So God, as we all make this commitment to you, we pray that you would help us. Help us to know you. Help us to obey you. Make your word alive to us today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year. Change us, God. Help us to be all that you have for us. In Jesus' name. And as we're praying today, you might be sitting there thinking, as everyone still has their eyes closed and still has their heads bowed, you would say, Pastor, I came today and I didn't really know what I was getting into. I don't know what this whole thing's about, but Pastor, I want this thing. I want this Jesus. You see, your life can be different. Your life can have focus. Your life can have purpose. But it all starts with a decision. See, because the work's already done. We think we've got to be good enough, and there's enough good things that we've got to do, but in God's eyes, you will never be good enough. You will never be able to do enough things to be in right standing with God. But God still loves you. And because God loves you, he came up with a plan. You see, we're all born with a propensity for sin, for evil. It's in our nature. We can thank Adam and Eve for that. And we try to fill our lives with stuff, with relationships. We try to fill the emptiness and the void with things. And yet we still feel empty. We still feel hopeless. We try to accomplish lots of things, and yet we still don't feel accomplished. And it's because we will always be missing out until we have God in our lives. You see, we all have a life story. But most of us try to spend our life story with ourselves, the main character. And God's saying, will you let me be the main character today? The Bible says it's easy to make a decision to put God in charge of your life. And it's simply this, you've got to believe that God loved you so much that he sent his son to pay the price for you. You've got to say it. You gotta say, God, I want you in charge of my life. The Bible says when you do that, it will be different. You'll be a part of his family. You will live life with him in charge on a pathway to amazing things. So if you would say, Pastor, that's me today. I need help in praying today. I want to make a decision today to follow Jesus, and I want you right now to raise your hand. Raise your hand high so I can see. No one's looking around. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to pray today, and I want you to pray repeating after me, and I'm inviting everybody to pray because at Focus Church, nobody prays alone. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I no longer want to do it myself. I want to live for you and be a part of your family. Thank you for giving me hope, purpose, and focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.